Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds with Almeen. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Becoming a bridge of light. Learning how to get to know and communicate with other kingdoms has been such a heartfelt desire by light workers for a very long time. Understanding the way to penetrate into higher levels of being, the hierarchy of kingdoms, and why communications with human spirits can be a very much lower source of information will be discussed by us at this time. Let us learn about the realms of the Ascended Masters and why their insights can be less than yours. It has always been that man has entered into hidden realms and the exploration of those with some trepidation. Could we enter the world of the tricksters? Could we have a demon pose as a being of light and lead us astray? Will our energy be sucked by those in other realms who wish to have that one eternal commodity that all life forms seek, energy? Or will we falter and not be able to get our way back into our bodies as we enter into these other realms? I will share with you today my experiences and any guidelines that I can believe will help you in some way to achieve this bridging between worlds in a successful and more confident manner. Beloved ones, the first place to begin is as follows. We have had underworlds, and as a result, we have also had within the hidden realms themselves a schism. Beings that were less inclined to be life-enhancing than others. It has left us in a twilight zone, a place where if one does not trust your discernment to the fullest capability, that you don't always know whether contacting beings or beings that are contacting you is helping or hindering. The good news about this is that it has changed. As the Earth started her ascension process in February of 2005, pulling all of the cosmos behind her over an edge of space, back to the heart of the infinite goddess from which that we have come, things started to disappear that were non-life enhancing. And later that year, by 2005, there were only 666 beings left under Lucifer's control or command. His hosts had diminished to 666. Who created Lucifer and the purpose for his creation is fully explained in the book The Gift of the Unicorns, Sacred Secrets of Unicorn Magic. The second half of this book explains the history of the cycles of the Earth and its inhabitants and its existence as it went into cycles of fall and then into cycles of ascension. Eons of history is contained in the pages of The Gift of the Unicorns. And there you can read how Lucifer was formed, how also, at some point, we had no underworld left. During what for us seems like the last 2 years, as I make this recording in 2007, we have had tremendous changes. And multiple beings that were non-life enhancing no longer could exist as we moved into higher and higher levels as a planet. Many wars, many major catastrophes, the Third World War, many famines that had long been anticipated, doomsday prophecies that at some point was a very real possible future, have vanished along with the negatives as we raised and raised and raised while slumbering in their day-to-day grind, man was unaware that such a miracle was indeed taking place. This makes it so much easier for us to bridge realms. It makes it so much easier for us to hear and see and have cognition that we are communicating with or in the presence of other beings. And as we shall see today, there are different ways. And sometimes we envy the clairvoyance or the clairaudience of another. But we will show how some of us have deliberately chosen not to have that as part of our path. And that it is time now for us to claim these gifts and what the change has been that has made this so. First of all, multiple beings that were hostile either have been reformed into life-enhancing capabilities. Let us just take, for instance, that which is described in the book Aruba Firina, Book of Fairy Magic. I was contacted by a group of fairies in October or September of 2006 and told that simply they would open their world for photography as well as information and to share their magic with man during the week of the 13th of November 2006. So at that time, information poured in about fairies, about dwarfs, about elves, about gremlins, about goblins. I was privileged at the time to move through the houses of fairy beings and observe how they lived, to speak with a multitude of them, to allow them to give me the transmissions that became this incredible little book of 200 pages, Aruba Firina, Book of Fairy Magic, that has glossy color photos in of some of these experiences. But in that book, we were contacted also by goblins and gremlins. And to my great surprise, because I had previous encounters with both of them that were quite hostile, their nature had changed. Previously, and this is another thing that we ought to discuss, I had many beings living in my home. Now, I have none other than a brand new group that has come in just for a purpose of specific work that I'm doing this day as I'm translating. But I have had no beings living in my house. I found at first desirable to have beneficial beings throughout the house. But each being has a personality. Each being has their own needs. There were times when the cosmos did specific transitions that some of the beings would go out of balance. It complicated my life. And it complicated my ability to hear beings that I wanted to communicate with when there was a clamor of conversation all around me from other beings. But initially, I was not aware of this. And during 2005, my house became what we call Grand Central Station, a very busy place. I had a house elf named Aoptica at the time that I asked to please make sure that no beings come into the house that are hostile and that beings understand that I'm not always able to greet them as I'm intently busy on other work and not therefore able to hear them as they try and get my attention. But I constantly had little hands touch me and sometimes pinch me as I accidentally stepped on someone and so forth. It was too busy. But at that time, a gremlin attempted to come in the house and speak with me. The elves, there were at that time not only the house elf, but 14 other elves living here as well, with their families at one point, were immediately in an uproar and they cornered him downstairs in the bathroom to try and evict him out of the house. I had, after all, instructed Aoptica that hostile beings should not come into the house and that he needed to either get the assistance of my dragon or he needed to deal with it himself. Well, I asked them what was the problem with gremlins at the time. And they said that they kill fairies. They play tricks. there were other beings, like fairy creatures called Grimms. And the Grimms were also very, very hostile pranksters. They would hide things. We have found that a Grimm had hidden all sorts of my maps and the original of the Atlantean time clock that I was working on in the ceiling of the house. So it was important that that particular gremlin, who was also a prankster and had hostile intentions, was evicted. Gremlins now have changed because of the ascension process. Goblins were a step worse before in terms of being non-life enhancing. They were openly hostile to elves and fairies and would attempt to kill them. So goblins were even worse. Goblins and gremlins now, if you read in the Aruba Ferina book, have a very specific function. They deal with unresolved issues, and they have become enormously helpful in helping people process things that are unresolved and in the subconscious to bring it up in a gentle fashion that can nevertheless be resolved. So they have become very life-enhancing. Our elves have changed in nature. Their nature was, shall we say, two-dimensional before. There is now a lot more depth to it. So elves are very helpful. They are very proud of their duty. They are wonderful beings to contact. And, as we have seen, the hostile beings that we were leery of contacting by mistake have been either removed or transformed. A splendid time to become a bridge between worlds.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almine. To learn more about Almine and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
The fairy realms themselves are far more accessible, and specifically because of the great gifts that are being given to us at this time. My brothers and sisters, in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, we give you the language of the elves. They are the elves of the earth. We give you the language that was specially developed by dragons for humans to have them communicate with them. In the Aruba Ferina book, we add to the language of the earth fairies that we gave you in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. In the Aruba Ferina book of fairy magic, you will find that multiple groups of fairies that the Mother Goddess had hidden on other planetary systems had come back to Earth, and she had done this specifically for this time when great light has dawned upon the planet. And so the fairies themselves, as a kingdom on Earth, they're actually ruled by a queen, and her name is Herefirina. Herefirina, in fact, let me spell that for you. H-R-I-F-I-R-I-N-A. Refinina. The fairy queen, so it's not a kingdom per se, it's actually a queendom, but the fairy realms now consists of about seven groups of fairies. The seven groups of fairies have different languages. The languages are given in the Aruba Firina book. When you have their languages, my brothers and sisters, and you can speak their words, which are also given in their various languages in that book, they will come because it draws their attention. There is a fairy clock or calendar given at the end of the Aruba Firina book. Oftentimes we see little glimpses of balls of light or streaks of light. And in the photography, you will see the size difference, for instance, between the teeny tiny little fairies that usually fly like little streaks of light in formation from the Andromeda star system and the larger Earth fairies that look like little tennis balls of light that show up now increasingly in your photography. And especially if you ask them if you may photograph them, they will come. So the point is that there you may see these little streaks of light, but at different times of the day, fairies fly on different days at different heights. So we have given you their calendar so that you can see what time of the day, at what height, to watch for these little balls of light. Unless you call to them, then they will come directly to where you are, but they are off the ground at different heights during different times of the day. So, the fairy worlds, they're opening it to us is a priceless, priceless piece of information to humanity. The magic they have given us is easy to underestimate. But when I was writing down their magic, my brothers and sisters, everybody, that the nine masters that were with me in the room and myself, we were all falling asleep. This was one of the safety mechanisms they had put on their bodies of magic. We had to find a way through it because beings that fall asleep like that never wake up. So what we had to do was laugh uproariously. It is powerful, though it sounds simplistic. I have deliberately preserved the childlike quality in their communications. Now, let us talk about dragons. Dragons have in the past, up until about September, if I remember correctly, the story is told about how the old dynasty of the dragons, which was very hostile to human life, and dragons at that point did only one thing. If there was a great need and a human adamantly requested it, and they were able to hear such communication, they did send dragons for protection. Very few people had them. But after that dynasty changed, which we describe and we give the exact date in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, dragons became more friendly to humans, and they became participating partners. For instance, it is absolutely possible there is, again, a large dragon population on Earth, and currently, as I speak these words, in September of 2007 is when this is being taped. Half of the cosmic races are, in fact, dragons. Large number of dragons living on planets everywhere. We have them here. They are ruled over by a dragon called the Beautiful One that I write extensively about in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, and you can get to know this wonderful being. Her husband is simply called the Dragon, and he's the young dragon that I call my friend in Secret of the Hidden Realms. They are the rulers of the dragon kingdom on Earth. Get to know them by reading about them there if you are serious about getting a dragon. Then call upon them to assign the correct dragon for your needs. Dragons will only act impeccably. If you are a healer, it is enormously valuable to pull in a dragon through communicating with the two leaders for one that will help you heal. We have given guidelines as to how to work with dragons in the book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms. Dragons need to be kept busy. So if you are not using them either on patients that you are doing healing on or sending them to do aftercare on patients that you've healed, or, for example, to send them to loved ones, you should instruct them that during any time you are not giving them instructions, that they are not resting or sleeping, that they need to be working, for example, in cancer wards, in AIDS wards, in children's hospitals, in mental hospitals, any such place. They are particularly good at physical healing. So my brothers and sisters, you absolutely are able to use them cooperatively to do the things that need to be done. Always tell them that it has to be a call for the highest good, because there are some beings that it is their time to pass, and if we keep them alive artificially, that is not life-enhancing. And it's because of their choice. We have in multiple of our teachings explained that death as a reality has become obsolete, that it is now a choice. But if that is what they are choosing, we cannot go against the individual's will. However, it can be made that they are comfortable in their passing. So always ask them to assess what is the highest good. So the next one to look at is twitches. Most of what you think are dragons that you see in your environment, and there are different ways to see, as we shall look at, but sometimes you simply know it in your head like an image. That's clairsentience. That is just as valuable as those who see something on the screen of their mind. And oftentimes we envy those that say they see this or they see that, but indeed they're just seeing it on the screen of their mind. We're interpreting their words as that which is in their outer exterior, like a physical fairy being seen. Some do see that way. But my brothers and sisters, my family of light, be not concerned that your gifts might be less, and therefore assume that your consciousness is less. Mother herself has made it that she has created for herself very deliberately a sort of myopic vision, a narrow viewpoint that does not see the vastness that she is. This is her way of containing a space in which creation can take place. In other words, she has contracted her vision to a narrow, small circle of bright light, creating the area within herself that she can call creation. If she did not forego some of the what we would regard as expanded vision, the space would be larger. Her vision is what contracts space or expands it. So as she wishes to expand that circle, she then expands her own ability to see a little further. There are great purposes for those that do not specifically see energy directly. Now, part of the great problem of not seeing energy directly that is not a life-enhancing reason for it is that when we have an internal dialogue in the head, all initial energy is sucked up by this dialogue in the left brain. Well, the problem is that only leftover or surplus energy goes to right brain, but right brain is the one that accesses and sees and communicates with and so forth the hidden realms. So, my brothers and sisters, if we wish to, in fact, become bridges of light between the kingdoms, it is just imperative that we also raise our consciousness to the place of the stillness of the mind. In the back of Secrets of the Hidden Realms, I carefully give the stages of man and, in fact, what lies beyond the stages of man. but it is so available to you right now to enter the place where you are in God consciousness, where you no longer identify with the egoic self, with the body, with the mind. All of my books have been written for the very specific purpose to set mankind free from this ego identification, which takes the energy and prevents you from being all you can be as a bridge of light.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almaine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almaine. To learn more about Almaine and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Many, many lightworkers become very disillusioned with their teachers, even though the teachers are phenomenal for people in ego identification. The reason for that is that if the teacher themselves has not made this leap to the total silence of the mind, they are helping the students around and around the walls of a fishbowl. To get out of the fishbowl, you have to have someone help you that has already gone out of the fishbowl. My God consciousness came during the first week of November in the year 2000. My brothers and sisters, every book that I've written is designed to give you the way to leave ego identification behind and enter into mastery. My books at this point are written from a totally silent mind. My hand writes them longhand automatically. Even books that don't seem to be pertinent to the raising of consciousness, such as Aruba Ferina, the book of fairy magic, is, in fact, raising your consciousness, because it is setting you free from the grip of the five senses and from the grip, therefore, of left brain or the dialogue in the head that decrees what it thinks is real and what it says is not. So, my brothers and sisters, if you have enough energy and you are still in that silent place of mind, not accessing as much as you think you should, it is because you are one of the space holders that the infinite mother of all life, who gave birth to all creation, including God the Father, has decreed that you fulfill as your contract with her. And that means that you are limiting your vision on purpose to hold this bright spot of light that is creation in place. Just be very fine with the alternatives, that you simply know when there's an elf, that you know what they are saying, even if you do not necessarily hear it with your physical ears. Sometimes you will hear it with physical ears, sometimes you'll hear it like thoughts within your thoughts, and sometimes you will just simply know what has just been spoken. So, do not envy other their gifts. There is truly a very specific reason why you have the ones you have. Develop those. The others will come. Let us talk a little bit about twitches. We have spoken about them in the book, The Gift of the Unicorn, Sacred Secrets of Unicorn Magic, as well as in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. They resemble dragons. And when you see them or photograph them, you will think that they are a dragon. But they are an entirely different species. They are a lot more fun-loving, gregarious. They function in a crowd. They like to be around you. They will bring their young to see you. They're very friendly and sociable. They will absolutely, and they have wonderful magic, they will absolutely assist you with what it is you want to do. Dragons have very specific expertise, and that is that they're brilliant. So their deductive powers, their problem-solving capabilities, they're brilliant. Twitches have wonderful healing capabilities, and they're able to lighten hearts, lighten spirits, just like fairies and elves will do. Now, what we've done in our books, The Ring of Truth has it in, The Gift of the Unicorns has it in, and so forth, we have given you names. Because if we want to attract in fairies for a specific task, the Aruba Fairina book describes which fairy has which task, so you can call them by name. In most instances, we also give sigils, which is the little signature symbol, if you will, for that being. And if you have their name in their language and you have that symbol, they must help you. So with confidence, call them forth. If we were able to give them to you, it's because they have volunteered to be on call for you to ask for assistance. As the earth ascended, the old fairies, the old angels, and this is very important, just a few of the Metatron, Michael, of those archangels have remained the same during the last years since 2005. The other angels have been reabsorbed and remade at higher levels with new functions and new names by the Creator Goddess. And so, my brothers and sisters, the angels we've given you, in some instances, hundreds of names with their tasks. That's what you call them for. Dragons, too, have very specific expertises. So the best thing is that you call upon the leaders of the dragons on Earth, whom we have introduced in the books, and that you call upon them and that they will assign the proper dragon for the proper task. Twitches, too, they're wonderful at lightening the mood. They're wonderful at creating fun and laughter and at healing. So let us take a look at unicorns. Unicorns and Pegasus. We've known they exist. We have had them in our lore. Some have even seen them. Well, what you have seen until the end of 2006 was one unicorn and one Pegasus, keeping the memory of the unicorns and the Pegasus alive. The unicorns and the Pegasus, as a race, have been hidden by the Mother Goddess till the times of illusion and darkness would be over. As of the spring in 2007, those times are over. So, my brothers and sisters, in the Gift of the Unicorns, the unicorn names are given, the Pegasus names are given. There weren't that many of the small unicorns left. I believe there was but 50 left. There was just a few hundred left of the unicorns themselves. There were far more Pegasus left. But we give you their names. You can call them. They are phenomenal and they're pure. And you will hear their little hoofs on your floor. Perhaps some of you will see them. They will communicate in their innocent way into your mind the words that they speak, and they will absolutely be there to assist you. We have written about the unicorns also in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. I don't know if there are any other books out that give the information of the unicorns, but there couldn't have been, because that information was hidden until the book, The Gift of the Unicorns, in its fullness, was published in 2007 in the summer. And because it couldn't be done before, because Mother had kept them hidden. She herself is that lone unicorn, that lone Pegasus, that has sometimes shape-shifted to keep their memory alive as they guarded precious objects and secrets for her during the fall and the cycles of darkness. But they are now able to come to you, especially if you have their names. Unicorns will not become like a personal friend that hangs around you. If that is what you want, it can be a twitch or a dragon, or it could be an angel. At times, depending on your lifestyle, fairies and elves will be in your home as well, but they don't like disorder or any density. It has to be a home of great light, and they also like plants in it. So we have spoken also about the small pixies. They, in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, they too, they're not of assistance to you, but their sweet spirits do aid in bringing light and laughter to your home should you choose to have them live there. Then you should provide them with some plants. So the unicorns are faithful companions to the mother only, and they will surround her at all times. She has taught them to be shy so they do not get exploited because of their innocence and their purity. The Pegasus, too, are loyal in terms of being constant companions of the Mother Goddess who resides on Earth only. However, if you have their names, which we give in the Gift of the Unicorns, you can call them for tasks. What else is described in the Gift of the Unicorns is the merpeople. Again, they have survived in our myths and our lore and our folk tales, but they have been real. There are three different clans of merpeople. Do not assume, if you wish to become a bridge of light between these kingdoms and you wish to have them interact with you in your daily life, do not assume that because merpeople live in the oceans, that their ability to telepathically communicate with you and assist you through their great and phenomenal magic in your lives is impaired. Even though they dwell in the ocean, even though you dwell on land, the merpeople, and we have listed every single merperson alive as at the time that this book was written, which is during the first part of 2007. We have listed every single merperson's name and the functions they have. If you have need of their assistance and you call them by name, they will respond, and they are powerful wielders of white magic, which is to heal and uplift and can certainly be used for the benefit of humankind.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elva Espada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almeen. To learn more about Almeen and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
What lightworkers and technicians of the Hidden Realm should be aware of is the multiple kingdoms that have now emerged that are anxiously seeking communication with humans in order to assist, in order to be a friend. Now, humans live where light meets the unknown ways in which light can be lived. In other words, we could have said it this differently before. We could have said before that humans live where light and dark meet. There is no more dark. All unknown portions of Mother's being have been solved. What there is now is her light and the pure frequencies of her being, and the unknown part of that is how to live them out, how through physical expression to live these frequencies. It is because we are living the new and we're accessing potential that higher kingdoms, even such as some of our ascended masters, might not necessarily have the same knowledge that we do. If you take someone that is an ascended master and they have a specific life's purpose, it's different than yours. And your life's purpose has been given tools to be fulfilled. You are going to mirror to Mother a portion of her own potential or potential expression of a certain portion of her being that no one else has contracted to do. Because of that, only you has that information. By all means, my brothers and sisters, listen to these kingdoms, especially where they've been given tasks. For instance, one of these lost kingdoms, and why these kingdoms are called lost, are either that Mother hid them so well that they did not even make it into our folklore or our fairy tales, like the other beings were relegated to those sort of stories and so on, but at least they were kept alive. Unicorns, dragons, fairies. These beings never made it into our stories. They were so well forgotten, or they were so well hidden in pockets of space by Mother to safeguard certain frequencies or certain sacred objects or something that Mother wanted to come forth at this time when light has again dawned. But be aware that they will contact you as well. And some of them have strange appearances, and so let's take a look at the hidden kingdoms that have come forth. There's the Darklings. We speak a great deal about the Darklings in the book, The Gift of the Unicorns. There are more Darklings on Earth today than there are humans. They, in fact, live at the bottom of the ocean, where it is dark, but for them, it has now become light because Mother has decreed that they no longer need to be hidden. But there are trillions of these little beings. They are very tiny. Several of them can fit into a pea. But they are humanoid in form. I saw one of them, and I describe exactly what he looks like, with his greenish skin and sort of flatter nose but big solemn eyes, in The Gift of the Unicorns, and I saw him as a full sized person. However, he is very, very tiny. And he's the one that communicated much of the information to me that came, that Mother asked them to give us for the history of the cycle, because the the darklings, as they're called, were the history keepers of the cycles. So you can learn very much about them in the Gift of the Unicorns, and it's very easy to communicate with them. They are powerful in their telepathic skills. Then there is the Elamakusanek. And just like the darklings, they're very tiny and live in large bottoms, large numbers in the bottom of the ocean. They had been kept in the void. They had been kept in a pocket of space that Mother designed from them to get it so that they can, in fact, bring forth something quite unique during this time. They bring forth spirals of light that had to be placed in the bloodstream so that we can communicate between heart and head better, and also so that we can become better bridges of light. William? Mm-hmm. There's a phone call coming in. Let me just... It beeped during my last word. I should maybe redo that. The whole last sentence. Okay, we'll just wait till my phone stops beeping. Okay, that seems to be gone. Okay. The Elamakusanek hid for Mother spirals of light that are to be used and was placed in the waters and in the fluids of our own body so that it can communicate Mother's words and voice to us better. It can, in fact, communicate better between our heart and our head, creating in us the ability to become far better technicians of the hidden realms, bridgers of worlds. The Elamakusanek look like the darklings in that they're teeny and tiny. They emit light that grows very bright when they're happy. They live in large clusters, and they love to be gathered together. But they're more ethereal than the darklings. They look like tiny, tiny, tiny fairies. They can speak in sounds resembling the squeaks of mice to our ears. This is only if we're hearing them with our ears. What we then need to do is ask that they communicate telepathically so that we can hear them as thoughts in our head. And then there is the Bek Bavarabishbi. And the Bek Bavarabishbi originated in ancient Lemuria. And they are very, very tall people. They were called the tree people. They're very blonde. Their eyebrows and eyelashes are almost white. Their hair is one length to the shoulder, and then it's cut off at the shoulder. And some of the women have longer hair. But they're tall, elongated, spindly, very white skin. And they're the tree people. They have the ability to materialize and dematerialize at will, so you may actually see them in physical form. The Bek Bavarabishbi are extremely refined. Their appearance is the epitome of refinement. The adults stand actually between 20 to 22 feet tall, but they could materialize smaller if they want to contact you. They have extraordinary gifts. They help you see. And you can call upon them to enhance your abilities, like you can the angels, and we've given the specific angels, and lords. And we describe what lords are also very carefully in the Ring of Truth. And those are the ones that the Bek Bavarabishbi, the angels, and the lords are the ones that can be called upon to assist you to enhance your ability. We also have the Nitzkabelavek. Nitz, Nitzkabelavek. And they have they look like little children. They're about 2 to 2.5 feet tall. And they have very pronounced brow ridges with hardly any hair on the top of the head. So it gives them more of an appearance of being a toddler. They have very skinny nose that goes to a point, huge eyes and brow ridges with a small mouth. And what this does is it gives them a very owlish appearance. They resemble a bit like, they look a bit like an owl. They have whitish skin. And sometimes, you know, they have little round bellies the way a toddler would have. And so it might seem like an owlish looking toddler is visiting you, my brothers and sisters. This is another one of the last kingdoms. In the book, Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis, is given more of the last kingdoms. Do not assume that anything you see is dark. None of those exist any longer. And do not dismiss it as invalid, because it is a kingdom you do not know. Multiple ones have now come into being as Mother has released the time of light, the time when man can yet again walk between the worlds.
We hope you have enjoyed today's show, Walking Between the Worlds with Al Mean.